Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining in. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast immediately following WWE Raw. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman from BetweenTheRopes.com. A lot to get to when it comes to Raw tonight. Plus, we'll talk some of the other news and notes of the week. If you're watching us live, if you're watching this video at all, please do us a couple of favors. Subscribe to us here on YouTube. Also, like our videos, share them, and feel free to make comments in the section below. And we've got the live chat going right now, so you can take part in the conversation. We'll get some questions as well. And you can check us out on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com/BetweenTheRopes. We always put a post up there where you can leave questions, and we try to get to as many of those as possible during the broadcast. Of course, you can also check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com, where you can subscribe to us on iTunes as well as on Stitcher. And we really want to appreciate everybody that supports us on Patreon. If you haven't done that yet and you can support us on Patreon, whether it's a dollar a month or more, just go to Patreon.com/BetweenTheRopes and support us there so that we can keep doing Between the Ropes broadcast. So
we had a great conversation with one of our fans yesterday too.
We sure did. You know, one of our Patreon members who's in the hierarchy when it comes to, we have different tiers there, and he's in the tier where we do have a live chat once a month.
Matt Rogers. And Matt Rogers is a cool guy. Gotta give him props. A
great conversation with Matt, you know, hanging out up in North Carolina. So
Some of the places that.
There you go. So before we go any further, though, we need to get to the important things, down to business here as we start. And that is, what is the refreshing beverage of the week that you are enjoying during the live broadcast?
Beer? I almost forgot about my beer. Psh, no, I didn't. You know, I was over my beer fridge, back over in that general direction here a few minutes ago, thinking, what kind of beer do I want? And I said, you know what? Let me go for the repeat here. That's right. For a second week in a row, this is a two-time champion, people. Sam Adams Oktoberfest. And I bought the 24-pack from the local Food Lion, so you're likely to see this one popping up a few times throughout the next month. But, you know,
why do I have a feeling that you're going to be going Booker T on that beer?
Five times. 25 times.
That is going to be coming, I guarantee it.
Wait for it. All right.
Oh, there you go. And we can start. It's officially underway. I guess let's get into let's talk some Raw. And it was quite the show tonight, and I'm gonna try to be on my best behavior here. This really felt like a lackluster effort from WWE, and this was like the show that was going nowhere. And It was slightly saved, I think, by a strong main event between Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt. But other than that, I don't know what the purpose of the show was, other than to try to convince fans that Big Show can beat Brock Lesnar on the special show on Saturday night on the WWE Network from Madison Square Garden. Other than that, I don't know where they're going with this show. And it was... they weren't advancing storylines very much. It seemed rather meaningless. It was very pedantic, if you want me to use that word. It was pedestrian. It was
pedantic. Wow. Look at you, man. Look at your vocabulary.
Well, I was looking on my thesaurus toilet paper today, and that was the word of the day. but it was just a show that it felt like a very skippable edition of Raw.
It felt like their second week of, we got to do some stuff, so let's be on autopilot until we get to the good stuff in October. That's what it felt like. I mean, even that you mentioned the them trying to inject a little bit of interest, intrigue into this Brock Lesnar Big Show matchup, it did not do it for me. And that whole segment came across as very rehearsed, very weak. It made Paul Heyman look foolish. I did like his little throwaway comment about Big Show's just bored. He's looking for a real challenge. That's why okay, I'll get that. But Big Show's lines just felt so rehearsed. I don't know. The whole show, bah.
Yeah, and you know, you said, you know, it seems like they're waiting for another week. Well, guess what? They've had bad ratings the last couple of weeks. I mean, like, you know, record bad ratings for non-holiday weeks of Raw. And I don't think this show is going to help it. The Monday Night Football game, I know, has been a blowout for most of the game, but still, it's the NFL. It's the Green Bay Packers, which is a franchise that is hugely followed in the, by football fans. And, you know, Raw wasn't doing anything special, and you can't just wait for the next week. And I know that next week's show is a loaded edition of Raw. Because that's going to be the go-home show for Night of Champions, and they've already announced that, you know, Brock Lesnar is going to be there, Undertaker is going to be there, Shawn Michaels is going to be there, Ric Flair is going to be there. So they're going to have all these different people there, and I'm sure they're going to be pushing that all week. But you've got to do something to keep fans intrigued each and every week. And I know it's difficult when you're going up against, you know, this new fall season of shows, and you're going up against the NFL. But you've got to do something to keep everybody interested. And I don't think WWE has done a very good job of that lately.
I agree. And it's puzzling for so many reasons. I guess they thought there would be some interest in this Kane matchup against Seth Rollins. And it's just been played out in this really weird fashion that hasn't really generated any excitement. But I can't figure out why you wouldn't bring bigger guns to the table whenever you're going up against Monday Night Football. And you do have a chance. So people say, well, it's Monday Night Football, they have no chance. That's not true. When Monday Night Football is a blowout, you definitely have a chance to go in there, make a good showing, and get some ratings. But they're not even trying. And I do appreciate they've tried to carry some storylines throughout the show 2 weeks in a row. But it's not the kind of storylines that people care about. It's just, I don't know, they're making some really asinine decisions in the Divas division. And outside of some individual standouts, I think from top to bottom, the storylines right now are just garbage.
And see, and to me, one of the problems is, yes, it does make sense that Kane has this match against Seth Rollins at Night of Champions. From the storyline that they're presenting, that's fine. It's just the execution of everything. And I think when you, yep, when you do a lot of the same old, people will then complain going, well, I'm tired of Kane. I've seen this so many different times. And you've got to do something that shakes it up a little bit. Like I said, I understand. It makes sense, you know, when it comes to storylines, like, okay, we've already got our main event for Night of Champions. We know it's going to be Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker. So we can do like a step down guy that challenges Seth Rollins for the championship. But, and I, you know, I think, you know, Kane and Seth will have a fine match, but what's the story leading up to that? And are people going to buy into it? Is it going to be something that's interesting and something that's a little bit different? And they really have not provided that. And I think it gets to this point where people are like, oh, here we go. It's Kane again. And, you know, people get tired of that. And I think that's what you're getting with Big Show as well. We're going to run down the entire show, but I think that's the other thing too, is that you've got, you know, Big Show in there and, you know, going after Brock Lesnar. And like, one of the overwhelming themes of the show to me was this old standard. And I don't know if it was meant to come across this way or not, but when the ratings are down and we're wondering what to do, it's usually one of two things, if not both. One is we've got to put a bigger focus on John Cena because he traditionally draws ratings. The second thing is we've got to go with the big guys and look at the big guys that really got pushed tonight. Okay. In the main event, they're not like giant guys, but I mean, they're bigger guys with Roman and Bray, but that totally makes sense what they do. But other guys throughout the show that got a lot of airtime. Kane got a lot of airtime. Big Show got a lot of airtime. And who's the other big guy that they're pushing? Braun Strowman.
Yeah. And of course, the big guy himself, Ryback.
Yes, Ryback got a little bit of time too, but
got a win. Got a win.
But it just, you know, this old adage of we've got to go back to the big guy, that kind of scares me, especially when you talk about somebody like Braun Strowman, because it's not fair to that guy either to put him in a position if he's not ready for it. I mean, you're talking about somebody that had, I think, like 10 matches or less before he even got brought up, and you're asking a lot out of a guy, and if people get mad and they turn on him, can you really blame the guy because he was put in that position before he was ready for it?
Right, and these guys are so green, you can't even mow the grass. I guess my whole thing is this, right? Somebody like Seth Rollins is not a big guy. He is a smaller guy for that role, especially. But even in the WWE landscape, he's one of the, I mean, he's well-built, super energetic, super athletic, but a smaller guy. Yet he's the world champion, and he continually gets praised by everybody he's in the ring with. Sting put him over as being one of the greatest opponents he's ever gone up against. He's fantastic on the microphone, and I really think it does him a disservice that he's having to basically, if he has a match with Kane, he will be carrying that match. Kane will bring his level of veteranship to this match, but he will be carrying that match, right? And all these other big guys around him that are slow. Seth Rollins is the dynamic one of this TV show, and I think it's doing him a huge disservice to be surrounded by these guys who aren't as athletic, who don't have as great of matches. And, you know, this whole Kane storyline, you touched on it. It's fine if Kane is coming back for revenge, but they have executed this in a way that doesn't make any sense. That's, oh, this goofy, he's in between. They stole this from TNA. TNA did this with Joseph Parks and Abyss just a couple of years ago, and it fell flat then. Just let Kane be the monster. Let him terrorize. Ingest some fear back into this character. Let him light a casket on fire. That would be a lot more interesting to me than what we're getting, which is this, oh, look, it's a comedy thing. So,
well, let's run down the show. Let's start from the beginning. So the champ was there. John Cena was there to start the show. And he once again has the United States Open Challenge. And when he issued the challenge, we heard the dulcet tones of one trombone. That would be Xavier Woods. And then we heard Big E telling everybody, don't be sour. So the New Day came out and they rhymed and they joked and everything. And it was going to be Woods against John Cena. And during the match, the referee actually ejected Kofi Kingston and Big E. And by the way, I forgot to say this, but Xavier Woods, when he was introduced, did drop down to one knee and play the trombone. And when he first came out to accept the challenge, he was playing John Cena's theme, but he was doing like the John Cena sucks chants with the trombone. But anyway, they had a pretty solid match. And just when Woods, at one point in this match, Xavier Woods did, I don't know what he was doing off the top rope, but he landed on his back. And John Cena was so far out of the way already. Like, he had rolled out of the way, like, went, got a bite to eat, and was still standing up in the corner. And Xavier still jumped anyway, like, ah, there's nobody
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
But just when Xavier was about to get pinned, Kofi and Big E came back down to the ring, and they made the save, and they were beating up John Cena. So then the Dudleys came out. And just as you thought, this is a six-man tag because Teddy Long said so. Oh, wait.
Holla, holla, playa.
Holla, holla. We had a big-time Teddy Long influence on this show. But so we got the six-man tag. Wasn't for the main event. They did it right there. And just as you would expect, the New Day won. So New Day wins.
You know, I got to just say that Xavier Woods, we got to the triple threat match or the three-on-three match, but Xavier Woods did a fantastic job. I mean, yeah. A New Day, they are really just clicking and firing in all cylinders. They're playing off of each other so well. They have these great little moments together that are funny, that are entertaining, these awesome songs. I just love everything about it. I'm glad they put Xavier Woods in the ring. He needs more time like this to shine and not just be the mouthpiece. He's talented on the trombone. He's talented in the ring. He connects with the audience in a really meaningful way, which I think is awesome. And he's solid. He's got some unique moves. I love that the arm drag down with the kick. I think it's fantastic. There's a lot to really like about him. So I'm glad he got to show off a little bit more and not just be the third man. But those are one of those, that act as a whole is one of those acts that I can't praise enough right now at a time where there's a lot of wash, rinse, repeat, a lot of just cliche, phone it in. Those three guys are giving it their all every week and making mountains out of garbage pails.
Right, and I agree, man. And you look at even some of the stuff that they do that doesn't even make TV, that they just do online, that shows up on different YouTube videos or even on Twitter. And they're always engaging with one another. Like, they were even explaining how they got along with Rusev after they feuded, you know, at one point. They're like, oh, he came over for dinner one night, and, you know, we made it, we talked it out, you know, and everything. And plus, we all share this hate for Lana. And Rusev was like, yes, we have chicken and hate of woman. Kofi got the win in the match. He hit D-Von with Trouble in Paradise, so he got the victory. So it wasn't a bad opening segment. That was pretty fun. The show was actually, you know, bookended with a couple of pretty good segments. Now, here's where the weird stuff began. So they went backstage, and there were the authority. There were Stephanie and Triple H, and Ashley was there from Human Resources, from HR department. And by the way, Stephanie needed to explain to everybody what HR meant, Human Resources. But Kane was there as well, and they wanted to say, we've gotten an anonymous complaint about Kane and unsafe work environment. So then Seth Rollins came in there and he was like, what's going on here? This is an outrage. And of course, Kane's like, I didn't do anything. And then he's almost turning into evil, demonic monster Kane when talking to Rollins. But then he changes back to happy-go-lucky. Sure, I'm happy to address these charges. And I still want to be the director of operations around here. And told Ashley, hey, have you met the Bella Twins yet? So did that. They did Roman Reigns in the back as he's getting ready for his match, which was 2.5 hours away. But Dean Ambrose was trying to talk him out of the match, saying, oh, they're going to try to pull something on you, man. So be wary of the Wyatt family. They did another big man match. I know everybody's been clamoring for Big Show against Mark Henry.
Woo!
Let me tell you something. This was a Vincent Kennedy McMahon special. And here's why. So we've got to get the Big Show ready for this big match against Brock Lesnar. We've got to sell to people that he can actually hang with Lesnar and beat him. So how do we do that? He's got to beat big guys. So last week, Big Show beat Cesaro, but that's not big enough. So this week, he's got to go against Mark Henry. And guess what? He beat Mark Henry in about 3 minutes. I mean, I get it that you want to try to build up Big Show for that match against Lesnar, and they did it more throughout the night. The problem is they shouldn't be doing the match between Lesnar and Big Show in the first place.
The problem is that Mark Henry's career is in the Hall of Pain. That's the problem.
Well, Mark did an interview recently, and he said that his career was coming to an end, and he just wanted to kind of handpick, you know, who his final match was going to be against and how he went out and everything. But he said the end of his career was imminent.
Did he handpick Big Show to knock him out in one punch and have this garbage fest? It literally felt like two big guys got around in hot garbage and ate it. Mm. And that's what they did and put on TV. And this man's like, yeah, that's how we do sports entertainment is.
Big guys. Look at those big guys. They're bigger than life. You can't see that guy anywhere, but only here in the WWE.
You remember when Mark Henry and Big Show had legitimate matches? Like, they used to have legitimate matches back in the day and break rings and stuff.
But they made Mark Henry into somebody that's not important.
Remember he had the pink suit and he tricked everybody? He was like, guess what, y'all? I'm retiring. Psych!
I think it was salmon.
It was salmon-colored suit.
It was fantastic. It was a perfect cherry on the top of that segment of Mark Henry faking his retirement so he could go after John Cena and challenge him for the world championship at the time.
One of the greatest surprises, one of the best moments of Mark Henry's career, and one of the weakest payoffs I've ever seen to any storyline. So
then when you want to keep your ratings going up against Monday Night Football and you're going into the next hour of the show, you go with Miz TV to keep everybody engaged. So his guests were Charlotte and Becky Lynch. And Charlotte basically was calling out Paige. Team Bella came out. They whined. And Nikki barked at Charlotte. And then Paige came out. And Paige said, I'm the one that started the Divas Revolution, blah, blah, blah. And then Team Bella got mad at her. So guess what? Teddy Long stepped in and made it a six-woman tag. So, Team PCB was broken up last week. Oh, yeah, we got to do the dance. Well, Team PCB broke up last week, and then they were back tagging together this week.
Hmm.
If you can explain that. And yeah,
that's what we call TNA logic.
Sure, why not? So they're having this match, and at one point, Charlotte went for the figure eight on Nikki, who kicked her into Paige, knocked Paige off the apron. So Paige got all ticked off, and she's walking to the back, and Natalya comes out and goes, "What are you doing? You know, come on." And then Paige is like, "Screw this, I'm out of here." So Natalya jumps up on the apron, and Paige comes back, knocks her off the apron, and then she walks out. And while this is going on, Charlotte is standing there looking, and you just see the roll up coming from behind, right? You see Nikki's going to do that. Nope, but Nikki didn't do it. Instead, she slowly grabbed Charlotte, who had to stand there and act surprised as Nikki carefully grabbed Charlotte, who was so much bigger than her, and placed her on her shoulders and give her the rack attack and then pinned her. So Charlotte gets this career-defining moment of winning the Divas Championship, and then she loses the, you know, soon thereafter already losing clean in the middle of the ring.
And she lost the week before she won it. Because, you know, Brian, at the end of the day, wins and losses, they just don't matter. In fact,
Bray Wyatt said that recently.
You could put the title belt on anybody arbitrarily. They don't even have to win the belt. I think that would make WWE booking so much easier. Instead of having somebody have to win the championship, just have somebody come out and hand it to them and say, "You know what? You deserve this for some arbitrary story reason." And then that will solve so many problems like logic and consistency and serialized storytelling. All those things will just go away.
You know what's funny is that when they did this segment and they had Charlotte and Becky Lynch out in the ring, I really thought that they were going to impress this notion of the Divas Revolution saying, "You know what? We're not divas. We're women." I really thought they were going to go with that idea. And maybe they will at some point, but they didn't do it here. And to me, this whole quote unquote Divas Revolution, whatever you want to call it, and I know that's what it's been branded, it's never going to really start until they drop the term divas. They have to drop that term. If they really want people to be they really want the women to be taken seriously. If you want to show them the proper respect that they deserve, and you want people to really start accepting them, get rid of that term divas. Have Charlotte cut, you know, a strong promo saying, "I'm not a diva. I'm a woman. And guess what? This is the women's championship." And get a new belt out there. You know, you've got to talk about, "We're women. We're not divas." I know maybe some of this has to do with, you know, they've had the term divas for a long time. And plus they have total divas. To me, total divas, that's totally different than what they have here. They need to stop calling them divas when it comes to Raw if you really want them to be taken seriously and take the step forward in the evolution of women in WWE.
And I think branching off of that, treating it like a legitimate division. So you need to restructure it. The divas, that's what's on Total Divas on Tuesday nights. That's what used to be around when you wanted these pieces of arm candy or these in-between cat fights. Like you say, make it a women's brand, give them a new belt, and then make it a meaningful division. Actually have people fight individually and have legitimate feuds instead of this, let's throw everything in the kitchen sink mentality that WWE is using to book their angles right now. And let's see something come out of this. It's working beautifully down at NXT. Guess what? NXT, the NXT women are headlining the next NXT TakeOver event. And not in a 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 or 10-on-10 match. It's literally 1-on-1. And that's the storyline. So put the focus on building up a couple of really strong women and then building up the other women around them in some other feuds, some secondary side stories, whatever. And that's how you can have – it's easy booking. Why are they screwing it up?
I'm not exactly sure why. I'm hoping that they – at some point get to there, and you know, that would kind of be a make good on some of this. But until then, it's just going to be what it is right now. And I think we're going to get a triple threat match when it comes to the Divas Championship at Night of Champions. It looks like it's going to be Charlotte, Nikki, and Paige.
Well, and so like, is Charlotte going to lose that match? Does she win it and become legitimized? I guess again, I feel like this would be so much more meaningful if Charlotte could just go out there and stand on her own and really, that's what Paige did and it worked. Paige had a great feud with AJ Lee and it made her a solid contender. And now she is a main event level diva for what the divas are. That's what you need to do. I don't get it. My mind.
So back on Raw, we were backstage where Seth Rollins was trying to explain how evil Kane was to Ashley from HR. that's human resources for you, all of you that don't know. And Kane walked up and surprised him with a present. And Seth exclaimed, "What's in the box?" Almost Brad Pitt-like. I was hoping it was going to be Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Well, just like in the movie, that's what it was, man. Right. I'm not saying in real life. I don't have nothing against Gwyneth or her child Apple.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was the, I think that was the reference though, right? That was the whole.
That was the reference. What's in the box? You know, and John Doe was not there to complete, you know, his life's work, which was truly evil. If anybody's seen the movie Seven, which we're referencing there. But he opened the box and guess what? There was a head in it. It was the head of his statue, which Kane went dumpster diving for and got back.
Yep.
Some people called it, it wasn't Seth Rollins' head. It was Chocolate Jesus.
do you reckon, let me ask you this. Was it the same trash can that back in 2003 that Shane McMahon kicked Kane into that was lit on fire? That was hot garbage. It was literally hot garbage.
Well, were they in Buffalo when that happened too?
You think my memory is that good?
I don't know.
I just remember he like did a little spinny kick and he kicked Kane into the hot garbage. It was
right.
It was
what did the city of Buffalo do to deserve this this edition of Raw tonight?
Well, I think it starts with the Bills. And I think whenever you're the Bills and you hire Rex Ryan, you're asking for some
what's wrong with Rex?
I mean, he's Rex Ryan.
He's a really good coach. I know he has a foot fetish, but he's a really good coach.
Well, so the Bills are, what are they? Two and one?
Two and one.
Okay.
They're playing well. I mean, they got blown out, you know, a week ago by the Patriots. Or it wasn't, well, it actually got close at the end of the game, but they were down big at one point. You know, like 40-some points. But they won this week. I mean, they're 2-1. They're looking good.
They played what, the Dolphins?
They did play the Dolphins.
Okay.
Who are a hot mess right now.
Who are they playing week one?
They played a team that I cannot remember.
I'm saying like they're not there. They haven't played anybody real. Like they haven't played any real competition. Man.
Hold on a second. I'll tell you who they played. They played the Colts. They beat the Colts 27-14. They lost to the Patriots 40-32. And then they blew out the Dolphins this week 41-14. And they'll be in the Big Apple next week to take on the Giants.
Okay. So, again, their strength of schedule is not that great so far. So maybe if you know, they hadn't hired Rex Ryan, there would have been a better Raw.
Hmm. So you're blaming it on Rex.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you keep hanging with that there, Chief. Let's see, what do they do next? Oh, that's right. We got Luke Harper and Braun Strowman taking on the primetime players. Guess who won this match? So, yes, that would be the Wyatt family guys won. And poor Titus O'Neil got hit with the big clothesline by Luke Harper, who tagged in Braun Strowman, who then did his standing choke. Didn't even get Titus O'Neil's arm, like, in between, like, where he's doing the hug for the choke. He has basically hugged him around the head until Titus said, "I've had enough. I don't like this much contact from another man." And just, you know, went limp. So
that sounds wrong. I don't like that. I don't like this much contact from another man. And then he went limp. This is not appropriate for our PG show.
This is a Heidenreich to Michael Cole reference.
Oh, God.
By the way, I'll bring up Braun Strowman, later on. There is some more possible news about the Strowman later.
The Strowman.
Yeah. So that match was nothing special to say the least. That's being pretty nice to it. They did Stardust against Neville. In the middle of this match, King Barrett came down. He gave a bullhammer to Neville. Then he went over to Stardust, who was like, "Hey, we're all good, buddy," and gave him a bullhammer, grabbed the mic and said, "All hail the return of the King." And everybody just sat on their hands, and he put the mic down and walked away, and they went to break.
That was a great segment.
Actually, they went backstage, and they showed Rollins talking with Ashley. I think he was trying to get her number, but they were walking out to the ring.
You know what I like? I like that new Neville shirt. It was way more impactful than anything about this match, but that new Neville shirt, the purple one,
yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
I think it's 30% off right now if you get it at WWEshop.com.
Got to use the right code, right?
No, I think it's just 30% off.
Nice. Okay. That was a crap angle, though. That angle was garbage.
It's just right in the middle of a match, and he just interrupts it. It's just like, okay, no problem. You know, come on in here. We have nothing better. So
he said, the king is back.
Sure.
The king is back. Is that, that's pretty good, right? I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
That's he's not allowed good. To say bad news anymore.
I'm afraid I've got some.
Bull hammers to dish
out. Right. Clean your chimneys, I will. mildly racist. I feel like that's mildly racist.
I don't know. Is he Mary Poppins all of a sudden?
Yeah, he is. He's going to come in on an umbrella and knocks people out.
He's going to start singing Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney.
Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim
Chimney. Chim Chimney. Cheerio. So then they did the longest segment in Raw history. They did a very, very long segment with Kane, Seth Rollins, and Ashley from HR. So basically, Ashley's going to read the verdict on Kane's review. And right when she's about to, Seth comes out and goes, no, before you give that, I got to show you this. And apparently, in the previous 5 minutes, he had the WWE production team put together this big video showing what an evil man Kane is. And so they played it. And that did not deter Ashley. As she said, Kane is fit. He is good to go. He is well adjusted. And
she did not say he was fit. He's got a little bit of work to go before we could call him fit.
But she said he was mentally ready and good.
Okay.
So, and he just shook his head and was like, yes, yes, yes. And Seth was like, no. And then she went on to talk about how if anybody has a problem, it is Seth Rollins, who is rude and he's mean and he's this and that. And I'm thinking, he's a heel, honey. Get the business.
right.
Oh, no. But then afterwards, Seth got into the ring. He hadn't been in the ring yet. And he was holding his title. And he kept pushing in against Kane. Pushing in. Kane was being all nice guy. And then he just kind of dropped it. And then he just kind of looked down and was like, I don't know what to do. This is this awkward moment. I guess it was supposed to be like he was afraid to pick it up because then Kane would attack him. So he let Kane pick it up, and then he gave him the pedigree. And it took him a minute to get it on because Kane's so big. And then God bless Kane. I don't mean to pick on the guy, but, man, the way that he takes the bump from a pedigree or even a DDT where he doesn't lay out and he just drops down to one knee, and yeah, kind of bends over. It just looks so awkward. Mm-hmm. So he's down, and then Seth then grabs a chair and he's working over Kane. Especially,
you know, I used to think wrestling was real until I saw Kane take a pedigree.
Yes, when Jim Ross could take a pedigree better.
Yeah,
you're not doing it good
enough. Okay? I used to always love when people would take the stunner. Vince McMahon was notorious for this. He would take the stunner. He sit there and go like this. He would just shake.
He'd go into Terry Funk convulsions afterwards. Yeah, like he just got shocked. He's like, yeah. Mind you, The Rock took one of the best stunners ever, because he would take a stunner and he would do a flip over his head like he would do a cartwheel.
Yeah, flip over.
Between him and Shane McMahon, they must have had like a contest going on to see who could do the wildest bump off a stunner.
Oh my God,
which was crazy stuff. So, but anyway, Seth works over Kane with the chair, including in the knee. So here comes the stretcher, and Seth is like, I got you, you jerk, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they, you know, and he's talking about Kane's a fraud and this, that, and the other. So then they, you know, meanwhile, Kane gets taken and put in the ambulance. The ambulance starts riding away, but then stops, and you see red smoke in the back. And then guess who emerges? The Monster Kane, and he's limping. So his left leg has been damaged by these chair shots, right? So he's limping. And then finally, he just stops, stomps his left leg and says, you will not be in pain anymore, and starts walking normally to the ring.
He walked it off. He literally walked it out.
I'm telling you, man, I was waiting for Mr. Miyagi to like show up or something, you know, and I'm going to heal that thing for you there, buddy. So he came down to the ring and went to work on Seth, as Seth was petrified. Before he could get up, you know, with a choke slam or tombstone, Seth got out of the way. And quite the segment there, man. And that thing went on and on and on for whatever reason. It was just totally strange. And here's the other thing too. So I understand that Kane is supposed to be the babyface, but he's being booked as, you know, a guy that's going to terrorize everybody. He's supposed to be this demonic, evil, sadistic monster. But yet, that's the guy you're supposed to root for because Seth is such a bad guy.
Yep.
Just a weird, really weird dynamic.
It is. And it's not, it's just not coming across in any way. I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from it. And I just end up feeling nothing. And I think that's the problem. You know, you could do so many different things with this. And there for a while, Seth Rollins was kind of a good guy. Then he was kind of a bad guy, but he was starting to get over. And if they're really pushing him towards eventually becoming a face, this is not, it's not the best angle for him right now.
Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, some members of the team were in the front row behind the announcers or by them. So guess who had to point that out? That'd be Bo Dallas, who I don't think that he did a good enough job. And then he was talking about, you're almost an inspiration, but the one thing you're missing is the Super Bowl trophy. And I thought he should have brought up how they went to the Super Bowl four times in a row, but lost every time. Right. Like that, if you're going to do it, go all the way with it, right?
That's right.
So then Randy Orton came out, and you can only guess what happened 2 minutes later. RKO and Randy got the win. Yeehaw.
Did any of these matches tonight go longer than about 3-4 minutes?
The main event did.
It was kind of like the Attitude Era, just without all the good stuff. That's what it kind of felt like.
Well, the opening match between Cena and Woods went 9 minutes.
Again, to a non-finish.
And then the six-man tag they did went just over 6 minutes. Big Show and Mark Henry went about 3.
Felt like 10.
The women's match went about 7.
Okay.
Harper and Braun Strowman beat the primetime players in about 4 minutes. Neville and Stardust went about 2 minutes.
This is the Attitude Era, just longer and more painful.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. They did Kevin Owens against Rusev. So you're wondering, like, is Rusev supposed to be a babyface here? This match went under a minute because the Ryback was on commentary and was kind of being goaded, like, to get involved. And Rusev went after Owens, and they fought at ringside. And Rusev got shoved to the Ryback, stood up, and started punching Rusev. So he got a DQ finish. And then afterwards, Owens and Rusev started beating up on Ryback. And then Dolph Ziggler came down, the 80s Dolph Ziggler, and he came off and they ran off the bad guys.
That's what we call a drinking moment. So drinking moment.
Well, that sets up a match for SmackDown too, I believe. So
SmackDown, drinking moment.
You better go get another beer.
Oh, we're talking about TNA next? Oh, crap. Drinking moment. Oh, man. Woo.
You're going to be okay. They're going to be lightheaded there. So then it was the time of the show where they said, my God, Paul Heyman, please save this show. Right? So Heyman came down to cut a promo on Big Show, and he said, basically, Show is bored. Nobody can push him to his limit. And said that's why he's very excited about Saturday night at Madison Square Garden and a show only on the WWE Network, because he wants to see Brock Lesnar get pushed to his limits by the Big Show. And they were, and by the way, during the show, they aired this video package too, talking about this decade long rivalry between Big Show and Lesnar, which did include Brock Lesnar beating Big Show to a pulp a year and a half ago at the Royal Rumble with about 15 chair shots.
Mm-hmm.
So Big Show had to come down to the ring. He interrupted Paul and just said, hey, you know what? Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. But he said, hey, I know you're afraid of me, just like your client is. I can see it in your face. And you know what? You want to sit here and you want to push this big match. But guess what? I've had history before, and I'm going to do it again on Saturday night, and I'm going to beat him Paul walked off and show wasn't too thrilled about it. Told him to stop. And he said, think about your future without Brock Lesnar. I don't know if that's meant like you could join up with me or what. And by the way, not that I expected him to do it, but you know, years ago, Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar to join up with the Big Show.
Right. Okay. Let's play this scenario out since you brought it up.
Yes.
Okay. Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar. Big Show wins Saturday night in Madison Square Garden. Does that set us up for Big Show to take the place of Brock Lesnar at Hell in the Cell?
No.
And we could have
There's no way. No, don't.
This is good.
No, it's not good. Okay.
And then Big Show
perpetrating a fraud and getting in the mind of Vince McMahon because we know how much influence we have over him. Okay.
But I have this great idea that's going to culminate with Big Show versus Mark Henry for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. Not Fat Albert, Mark Henry.
I'm going to slow your roll right there. Okay, Chief. Because that is a bad idea.
Okay. And then we could have a Mark Henry title reign. That would be pretty fun.
Not at this point. So here's the whole thing I'll go back to. Okay. You want to have this battle of the giants, the battle of the big men. Okay, fine. But we've seen Brock Lesnar and Big Show so many times. I mean, who, you know what? I know they're going out of their way to try to push it, saying, hey, this is going to be an interesting match. And they've actually had some pretty good matches in the past, but we've seen this so many different times at a different stage of their careers that I don't think today's audience wants to see it. I mean, do you really want to go out of your way on a Saturday night to watch WWE Network to see this match and to see this show? I'm not saying you don't want to watch the show necessarily, but you know, there's certain parts of it you could probably skip. I think there's going to be other things that people be more interested in, even though they're not pushing them. The only other thing they're really pushing is Dudley's against New Day. And I'm not saying that that is a match you're sitting there going, wow, I got to go out my way to see this. But I'll watch the show. I won't watch it till the next day, though. I'm not going to go out my way to say, I'm going to go watch it live when there's college football on. And, oh, by the way, UFC is on that night. They've got a big pay-per-view. So, you know, it's, you know, I don't know how many people are going to say, I got to go out of my way to watch this show live on the network.
Especially whenever you haven't given us more of an idea what the card's going to be like. So Beast in the East was very unique. It felt like this really special thing that was a one-off, and we had the NXT title. And I was like, okay, I can dig this. But on a Saturday night, like you're saying, up against all this stiff competition, you got to give us more than Big Show versus Brock Lesnar. And the tag team titles, that's interesting, but those guys have not been elevated to a main event status. So what else are we going to see? Is Seth Rollins going to be on the card? Who is John Cena facing? Could we get another U.S. Open Championship?
Seth is actually facing John Cena.
And have they advertised that?
They haven't said it on Raw, but it's actually happening.
Why would you not do that?
I believe it's a cage match, too. But the thing that they haven't really pointed out is it for the U.S. title or is it for the world title?
You know what? I'm going to point out that they are freak. Oh, man, I'm going to curse on the air and break one of my not so cardinal rules. Why would you book this awesome match and not freaking advertise it?
I'm going to get you the card for this show right now. Here we go.
I'm going to get them a card for a good rider is what I'm going to do.
Okay. John Cena versus Seth Rollins, United States Championship match inside a steel cage. So that means Cena's going to win again. Randy Orton against Sheamus. We've got the Dudley Boys against the New Day for the tag team titles. Intercontinental Championship match, Chris Jericho against Kevin Owens. And they're doing Dolph Ziggler against Rusev. And also see your favorite superstars, including Kane, Mark Henry, Stardust, Team Bella, and many more. And by the way, the entire show is going to air on the network. It's not going to be like Beast in the East, where the first hour they did not air that. They're going to air this entire show.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And the only thing that they're focused on really is Brock Lesnar. I mean, they've mentioned the Dudleys and New Day, but Brock Lesnar, that's a selling point. And see, my whole thing to this is, does anybody really believe that Big Show is going to beat him? Does anybody believe that anybody is going to beat Lesnar? No. So that's why I think it would be more intriguing to have somebody different, to get a fresh matchup, to at least say, well, you know what? This is something I haven't seen before. That's why, like, if you had kept Cesaro stronger, a Cesaro versus Brock Lesnar match, I think would be very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. And there's no harm. Here's my thing about it. Cesaro loses to Lesnar. It doesn't really hurt him that much if he puts up a decent showing. And if Lesnar has to fight a little bit to beat Cesaro, Lesnar looks even tougher coming out battle-hardened, ready to go into Hell in a Cell. He beat Cesaro, this really tough guy. You know, I think it works.
I'll tell you the match, but maybe, you know, I had even thought maybe Kevin Owens, you know, I did a podcast last week with Kevin Eck talking about this, and he thought maybe that's something that they could save and they could do another time. Maybe that's something they could build up to. But how about this then? Why not do Brock Lesnar against Dean Ambrose?
Yeah.
Because to me, that's okay if Dean loses that, but just this element of Dean Ambrose, the wild man, going up against the beast.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty intriguing. And I know, you know, the thinking might be, well, Brock Lesnar is, you know, he's going to be the baby face going against Taker. But against Dean, he's going to be the heel. It's, you know what? I think you can throw, when it comes to Lesnar, you don't have to worry about the heel baby face dynamic because people are still going to be intrigued in seeing him, you know, this big monster just throwing people around and everything. So I don't think you have to worry about that with Lesnar. He is kind of exempt when it comes to that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. He's a draw. He's a big draw no matter what. So
the main event, though, as much of a kind of train wreck the show was actually pretty good. It's actually really good. We got Roman Reigns against Bray Wyatt. And they were fighting all over the place, and we got a double count out.
And Roman Reigns cut a good promo. I got to give them, I mean, again, you can't just needlessly throw out the word bitch because it kind of cheapens the moment. I think it's a cheap way to kind of get cheers. But Roman Reigns cut a pretty good promo at the beginning of that match.
Yeah, he did, because when Bray came out, he came out with Luke Harper and Braun Strowman and said, oh, you had to bring your lackeys out here. What did he call them? There's hanger-ons or...
Yeah, tag-alongs.
Training wheels. I think he called them the training wheels. So he said, why, you know, basically called him a bitch for doing that. So Wyatt sent him back, and they had this match, and they got the double count out, and that's when the brawl really, really took over. Bray actually tried to leave. He was on the other side of the barricade, and Roman dove over the barricade, knocked him down, and they started fighting through the crowd, including one fan who got super close and was like, yeah, punch him, man.
He looked like was into it.
He looked like a Dick Vitale from 20 years ago, basically. And but that dude was all over. Here's what I didn't get, okay? So WWE's had these instances over the last couple of months of fans jumping into the ring or getting involved and everything. And now you've taken the fight to outside the ring. There is no security there. None. There was one small referee and no security. Luckily, nobody got involved. The only person that did was one guy, like, patted Bray on the back. But I was just waiting for somebody to do something stupid considering what's going on lately. But they were brawling all over the place. And they ended up going through the barricades or the dasher boards at one point where Bray just bowled Roman right through it. And then Bray was up on top of the announcer's table, and he was showing off, like, I'm a stud, you know, haha, I've conquered Roman. And Roman got up and speared him through the announcer's table, and the show ended with both of them laying there in a heap.
I thought that was a really hot way to end it. They had a fun brawl. The match was fine. The brawl was really fun. I think the first bump was impressive, and the second bump through the table was a worthwhile moment for the show. And kudos to both men for just beating the heck out of each other and being just brutal, putting it all out there.
What about the crowd? As soon as they did the table bump, that the entire crowd started doing the yes chant.
Yeah. That's so funny.
And then the WWE went out of their way to show the crowd.
They're getting behind Roman Reigns for once. Like, we know Bray Wyatt was over.
Isn't that weird that, like, the universal way to cheer anybody is by doing the yes chants? It's not even necessarily they're cheering that particular person. They're just cheering a segment. They're cheering something that they like. And the universal way to do that for WWE fans is to do the yes chant.
Is it not weird that the universal way to get under somebody's skin is to just say what a whole lot?
Oh,
what?
That's true.
What?
So it was
what?
It was a forgettable episode of Raw. Like I said, the main event was good. The opening segment was okay. The rest
Look
of it,
at you
was,
taking it like a champ. You were awesome right there.
That's
man.
What you do, man. You don't even acknowledge it. You just fall right through, and you don't have like pauses. That's what you got to try to do.
I'd give you a hug if you were here, man. I'd give you like a hug for that one.
And a beer.
And a beer.
Yeah, but the rest of the show was just forgettable. I mean, there was nothing involved, and it's like the same old, same old. And it's just it's very frustrating. And here's the thing that I want to know, because I guess so the talk has been with the bad ratings as of late that Vince McMahon is ticked, okay? Whether that's true or not, or how enraged he is, I'm sure he's upset. Okay, but there was some rumor, some rumbling, and I don't know if there's anything to it. Of maybe we need to change, maybe we need to shake some things up. And if they do another bad number this week, and I don't think they're going to do a good number, but they do another really bad number, do you think this forces change, and do you think it will be changed for the positive? And now change that. We want to see when it comes to different guys getting pushed or maybe just tweaking the storyline mentality. I'm not saying that they're going to go like, we're going to copy what NXT has been doing, but you know, they're going to do something different that will, you know, than what they've been doing.
I mean, I'm always leery to think that WWE is willing to change this day and age. And I'm always leery to think that change is going to involve in something better, which is what I've seen in recent years. But on the other hand, I do know that their back is up against the wall with these ratings, and that Vince McMahon he's always been that scrappy fighter. When things are going fine, right? Like it's been, you know, for the last 5 years, only show in town, really. I know TNA guys, right? Whatever. But only show in town on that big of a stage, it's like Raw in the early to mid 90s. And they just kind of coast and ride on their laurels. And then when things started getting tight, Vince McMahon found a way to fight back. The question is, where is it going to come from? Because, yes, while it had guided the ship and helm everything back then, creative sparks and a really good time stars that made the Attitude Era special. So I think change will happen, especially if the ratings continue to stay at this level. I just don't know that the change is going to be what we want. And if it is, where's it going to come from? Maybe it is going to come from Triple H because there's something special going on in NXT. I don't know.
I just think that this age of, and I'm not saying you can't push big guys because obviously you can, but as an example, let me go back to Braun Strowman. Okay. So here's a guy that I'm sure he has a place, but it's just not right now. I don't think because of his lack of experience. And I think it's going to be to his detriment that you're going to throw a guy out there that's just not ready. When you have a big guy, it should be a special thing. And I know they're trying to make him special, but if he's not ready, he's not ready. And it can really backfire if people don't accept him. Because if a guy is really green, the audience is going to know that more so than ever before, because it's such a smart audience. I think now more so than ever before, size is not as much of a thing that you have to have. I'm not saying that guys have got to be really tiny or whatever, and, you know, just be super quick and you can get away with all that. You need to have a mixture, but you can get away with guys that are not your prototypical, you know, WWE superstars from years gone by where they're, you know, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that you can have guys that are the size of a Kurt Angle and a Chris Jericho and even Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin, who seems what 6'2", something like that. Yeah. You can have guys like that. To me, the bottom line is, can they be entertaining? Can they cut promos? Can they be charismatic? Can they engage you? And then can they go in the ring and deliver? And to me, that's what they need to adapt to, is don't worry about the size factor as much. Can a guy be entertaining? Xavier Woods, guess what? He's not the biggest guy in the world. He's found a way to entertain you. Same with Kofi Kingston and Big E. Big E is a big dude. He's a thick dude. But they have found ways to entertain you. And to me, that's what it is. Does somebody have the charisma and that entertainment factor? And then, you know, can they talk? And then on top of that, can they actually go in the ring and have good matches that will keep people, you know, entertained as well?
Yeah, I think there are so many different ways to gauge how somebody can be successful these days. I think being able to have some kind of cross-platform appeal helps. I'm not saying they have to be John Cena-like in that. but just their ability to, even somebody like Seth Rollins, go out there and connect with Good Morning America type shows. We saw him on local news the morning of SummerSlam in New York markets. Those kind of things do play up to your success, because being a wrestler nowadays, there's so much more of a focus on the celebrity of it all. I think that you have to have something extra, and you don't always have to. Daniel Bryan was not an uber celebrity, but he connected with people in very meaningful ways, and you can't hide that anymore because people are so much more connected, because we can use Twitter, we can use Google Hangouts, we can use whatever. You have to connect with them so they will connect with each other and talk about you, as opposed to the Attitude Era, where the only gauge was ratings and what you read in magazines.
I agree, man. And you just have to have a different mentality about it. And I think the success that we've seen with NXT has shown that. And you know what? A lot of it from NXT that I think people like so much is because it is so much different from WWE. That, you know, it's not the same. And people don't like the carbon copy measure of what we're seeing with WWE from a standpoint of the booking mentality of, you know, this win one, lose one kind of thing. Or, you know, we're seeing some different guys there, but they're not doing enough with those guys to a lot of people. And I just think they can be doing a lot more. I think WWE has a lot of talent. They've got a lot of talent on the roster right now. It's just utilizing them better in a way that I think people will engage. And I know they'll say, well, that WWE audience, what you see on Raw is different from an NXT. Yes. But that doesn't mean that the booking ideas can't work. And yes, NXT is a 1-hour show. It's different than a 3-hour Raw that's also got to go to a 2-hour SmackDown. But I'm not saying that you copy it necessarily, but there are things to be learned from that. And I think that today's audience wants a different kind of superstar. They want to see a different breed of guys being pushed, or a different style for their program, and they're just not getting it right now. And I think that audience will adapt. I think that main audience will adapt, as long as you have guys that are out there, that are charismatic, that could talk, that are engaging, that are entertaining, and can wrestle as well. And I think guys that can do that.
I think one of the biggest examples of this is Lucha Underground. And I really hate those staged, scripted backstage segments, but that show has connected with a wrestling audience in a really meaningful way. And I think that says something. The wrestling audience today wants something different. And fans of entertainment today like something different. They like very dense, serialized stories. That's why shows for cable dramas are up through the roof. That's why The Walking Dead has a spinoff. Not because it's zombies, but because the drama is so intriguing. Why Breaking Bad is so popular. There's so many good shows coming out. We can't keep up with them. And they're all these heavy, serialized dramas that are dense, that have these nuanced characters, and that's what fans would respond to with WWE. They don't want these weird carbon, like these generic players. They want something a little more, not adult like the Attitude Era, but adult in a way that is an adult approach to storytelling, mature approach to storytelling. That's what would really click with this audience.
I agree. So let's get some other news and notes. So first of all, SummerSlam, we thought was going to be going back to Los Angeles after a 1-year hiatus, but WWE announced today it is going back to Brooklyn for the next 2 years, and they're going to be doing more panels with the fans like they did, and they're also going to be doing a big NXT show the night before SummerSlam, and they'll do Raw in the building as well. So they're going to do the Barclays loop 2 more years in a row, where they do 3 nights in a row in the same building.
That's crazy. That's big news. I think it shows that there was a great reception there, because that building is not – I'm actually kind of surprised, because that building is not huge. And they packed it to the gills for 3 nights in a row, but I really thought they would be moving towards more of a WrestleMania model with where they booked SummerSlam. That being, no, you're not going to go to outside arenas, but you're going to go to bigger arenas and try to go to these bigger venues and pack those places out, just like you do with WrestleMania, rather than picking what is essentially just another basketball arena. So
what is it, like 15,000 that they did?
Yeah, that's not even – I mean, there are places right in the surrounding areas that have – surrounding states that have bigger arenas than that. So I think it's a fascinating choice, but I think they like that market. I think that's the biggest thing. the New York market is huge. It gets them a lot of press, gets them on a lot of radio. Barclays Center is in the heart of that Brooklyn market. It's so close to Times Square. You can do so much. I think that's why they like it. The arena itself is fine. The fans are great, obviously. But, you know, interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So we've all been wondering about Brock Lesnar's opponent for WrestleMania next year. And now that, especially now that it looks like it's not going to be the Undertaker, because Undertaker and Brock Lesnar are obviously having this third match coming up at Hell in a Cell to complete their trilogy, their latest trilogy. I know somebody called me out recently and said, oh, but it's not the third time they've ever faced each other, but it is in this series of matches. But so they're going to do that, and we're not going to get that finish at WrestleMania. So now it's like, who is each guy going to face? And there's been some speculation that maybe Lesnar would face Steve Austin, especially because, you know, they're doing this podcast together coming up, and maybe they would set it up there. But Austin went out of his way on Twitter to say, I'm not facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That's not happening. And I know that Dave Meltzer at the Wrestling Observer has said he is not facing Rock, because it will be Rock and Triple H. They are going to go ahead and do that match if plans stay the way they are right now. So the big question is then, who would Brock Lesnar face? And who would The Undertaker face, for that matter, as well at that show? So I'm not exactly sure who Lesnar would face. I mean, Roman Reigns again, maybe?
I'm going to throw something at you, kind of a curveball here.
Okay.
And see what you think about this.
Kane? No.
What if Brock Lesnar
face the Big Show?
Okay, that's a huge curveball.
No, do not even say that. We're already seeing that on Saturday night.
What if Brock Lesnar fought Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Well, that would mean Stone Cold went on Twitter to intentionally swerve everybody.
Right! It's a curveball. It's a swerve ball. I'm telling you, man, they're going to be hyping the crap out of this here in about 2 weeks. Austin's going to be all like, it's on, son. I said I wasn't going to do it. He's just playing us all like a fiddle, man. It's going to happen.
I would like to see that, but I just think that Austin is not going to – he's been so adamant about it. I don't know if he's going to turn this into an angle. And plus the whole, you know, it didn't seem like Vince, I guess, was too thrilled about this idea when it got teased several months back by Paul Heyman going on Stone Cold's podcast. So if you take Austin out of the equation – I don't know who they would go with at that point. I mean,
Daniel Bryan.
Oh, well, my Daniel God. Bryan would be amazing. But I mean, okay, number one, Daniel has to get cleared by then. And number two, he has to stay healthy. And three, he has to convince WWE to let him do that match, because that's going to be a physical match. And they're already worried about this guy when it comes to concussions. So you're going to put him in a match against the biggest, baddest dude that you got in Brock Lesnar. And mind you, I would love to see that match. I've been a huge advocate for that match, but I don't know if they'd ever put him in that position, even if he was cleared and was back in the ring.
You mean you'd be an advocate for Brock Lesnar?
I would be. Brock Lesnar against Daniel Bryan. Yes.
I think you could. I mean, first off, I hope we can get cleared in 7 months, considering he's already itching to get back in the ring.
He's already been cleared by his doctor or right. One doctor.
But I think that would be the best story you could tell. If you want to take the attention off of Daniel Bryan, people will want to see him fight for the title again. It's not going to happen. If you want to put the attention onto something positive, make this match. Daniel Bryan is fighting to earn his spot. He wants to earn his spot back. And the only way he can do it is to challenge the biggest, baddest dog in the yard. And so it's going to be Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I think that would be a fantastic story, even if you don't have the title. I mean, the title says a lot. But even if you take the title out of that, God, that story, you know, it's like people said CM Punk and Brock Lesnar would never happen. And they went to SummerSlam and tore the roof off. So I'm going to hold out hope.
Well, you know, it's funny because like when Lesnar was the uber heel and had the championship, I thought that that match made a lot of sense. Lesnar against Daniel Bryan. And to me, the way that you set that up was be Bryan winning the Royal Rumble. And then the next night, Lesnar and Heyman just scoff at this, like, oh, little guy, you know, you beat 29 guys to earn this championship match, but you can add up those 29 guys and they don't equal the Beast. They don't equal Brock Lesnar, you know? And if, you know, this is, you know, you signed your death warrant here, you want to do this match. And even a couple of times leading up to the match of Mania, Brock can beat Daniel Bryan down. you know, a couple times. And then right before Mania, but every time Daniel Bryan gets up. And then right before Mania, Daniel Bryan, you know, gets Lesnar in a bad position. Maybe he gets him in a submission hold. And Lesnar doesn't tap out, but he just shows, I can hang with you, man. And I damn near made you tap out. Like Heyman had to get involved or something to break it up. And it looked like Lesnar was going to tap. So that way it really sets up like, hey, he's got a fighting chance in this. Okay. He's not coming in this. He's not going to roll over. And Lesnar's infuriated and everything. And you really make people believe. It doesn't matter who wins. I mean, at that point, I would have probably had Daniel Bryan win it, just from a standpoint of you can have that big moment, even though he's already had it now at WrestleMania 30. But even if he doesn't win it, I mean, the storyline that you could have told there would be fantastic. And they're not going to do, if they ever do that match again, they're not going to do that storyline. I don't think you're going to see Daniel Bryan win the Rumble, even though it would be awesome. But and I don't know if Lesnar's going to be a champion again, but to me, I mean, that would be a great way, but you could still do that match. I think it'd be great. The only other guys I could think of for Lesnar, you could do the rematch against Roman Reigns. You could do, I guess you could do Bray Wyatt. In thinking of Vince loves his big guys, without throwing out Kane or Big Show, you could do Sheamus, or maybe you could do a Brock Lesnar against Kevin Owens.
I think that's the one right there. I think when you talk about possibilities of bigger guys and bigger guys who are athletic, I think that's the match. I mean, Samoa Joe obviously would be the matchup.
But he's not coming to the main roster.
But since he's not coming to the main roster, I think Kevin Owens is a good substitute for that.
Now, let me throw this one out there for you, too.
Okay.
So The Undertaker is going to have a match on the show, apparently not against Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
So who is he going to face? Because I'm going to strike fear into the hearts and minds of everybody. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer has said this. I can't remember if he said it's actually an idea that's being considered or if it was just an idea from the way that he knows Vince McMahon thinks. I think it was, it's actually being considered. The Undertaker against Braun Strowman.
Oh,
that is epically bad. I still think that the guy that I would have take your face is John Cena.
Okay. One of the curveballs.
Even though that's not as important of a match as it would have been if the streak was still alive. Because to me, the way you could have set that up would have been Taker going, hey, guess what? I've had this long career. I'm going to hang up my boots. But the streak means so much to me. I don't want to go and just ride off into the sunset. I want to show that I have earned the streak and how much it means to me. And I don't want to just take on anybody to get one more notch on the bedpost when it comes to the streak. So I want to go out. I want to prove the streak, give it the stamp it deserves, but going out on top and being the top dog in John Cena on the biggest stage.
Okay.
But I can't do that anymore because the streak is broken.
Sure. I still think you could have him challenge just to prove he's still legitimate. I think there are a couple of other matches that could be more intriguing. The Undertaker. Right. Well, sure. Okay. We'll take, I'm always the advocate for Sting here, taking Sting off the table because he could never wrestle again because of Seth Rollins.
I don't think Sting is going to wrestle again. I think he's done.
Okay. So what if we had the Undertaker wrestle his walker to get to the ring? Okay. Or his wheelchair to get out of the ring, or his medical bill the night after he wrestles, because kind of getting old, kind of getting up there.
That's mean spirited right there, my friend.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, we got to call that's a spade
being,
a spade.
You're not being very nice to the dead man.
What if we have the Undertaker wrestle his bed comforter, because those things are challenging to get out of sometimes. In all seriousness, not that I am heavily advocating for this match, but I think it's the story that tells itself the best. And I think it would be a really appropriate note to go out on. And I think that is the Undertaker versus Kane. I know the match is not anything that we all want to see, but I think that would be an interesting story. And
you're intentionally trying to hurt me right now.
I'm being dead serious.
I know. That's what scares me the most, is that you are, and it actually makes a little bit of sense, and it's tearing my heart a little bit.
it's logical booking, and they have one final battle. I mean, these guys had a pretty good showing back at WrestleMania 14, I think.
Will there be a fire surrounding the ring?
An Inferno match. Mm-hmm. Hell in the Cell, with the Cell being lit on fire.
And dogs around it, too, so it's a kennel in the Cell.
Right, the kennel in the Cell.
And the dogs start taking a whiz in the fire.
Oh, my God. Okay, the kennel. So we could have Big Show in this match as well.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh,
can you imagine every time he gets choke slammed and the flames shoot up? They didn't break the ring. They burned it to its core.
And it turns out this entire time, Big Show has actually been the third brother of these two.
No storyline.
Oh, man, this is good stuff.
No, it's not. We want to thank everybody for staying up late with us and watching the broadcast and supporting us here with Between the Ropes, especially everybody that's supporting us on Patreon. If you can, support us there, and whether it's $1 a month, $2 a month, $5 a month or more, please do that so we can keep doing what we do. We do have bills to pay, and it takes up some of our time. We have other jobs, but we would like to spend more time here between the ropes and make sure we continue doing this. So if you can support us on Patreon and make sure we keep punching out Between the Ropes podcasts and broadcasts, please do go to patreon.com/between the ropes. Please support us there. We appreciate everybody that has done that. You know, like I said, even for $1 a month, it means a lot to us and goes a long way. So if you can support us on Patreon, that's fantastic.
I found out something interesting too, Brian. Since we're talking about following us and supporting us on Patreon, that'd be great. If you follow us on YouTube.com/between the ropes, you will get a little notice on your telephone here that will show up that will tell you when we go live, which is really cool. So you should like us on YouTube, and more importantly, you should follow me at The Real Wiseman on Twitter because you know, I'm an okay guy. And then your tweets will show up right over here as well. So lots of cool stuff happening on my phone.
On the tweet box is what
this is.
Let's get to some questions before we get out of here.
Oh, questions.
Questiones.
I got lots of questions for you, man.
No, I mean,
how badly do you want to see Kane versus The Undertaker versus Big Show at WrestleMania 32?
I'm going to walk off. Kind of like what the Cubs did tonight with a win, a walk-off victory by Chris D'Onofrio with a home run.
That was an awesome segue because Mike Castellina writes in, will the Jays meet the Cubs in the World Series? And what do you think of the Jays? Please ask. And I'm assuming he wants this question for you because I think the Jays, they have a nice-sounding team name, so good for them.
Well, they are the Blue Jays, and they made some big trades before the trade deadline. And they are actually playing extremely well. I mean, now they got David Price, and they got an ace on the mound. But their offense has just been killing it, man, with Jose Bautista and Josh Donaldson. So, I mean, they've got a big-time offense. Typically, though, in the postseason, you want to have better pitching because your offense can go cold, and you're going up against teams' best pitchers. But never say never. The Blue Jays are hot, man. They're riding a wave of momentum going into the postseason. So, you know, I think they've got as good a chance as anybody in the American League. As for the Cubs –
Wait. I heard you say Bautista. So
Jose Bautista.
Bautista could be a possible opponent for Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Is that your dream match?
Well, he wants to finish his career against Triple H, so.
Okay, Triple H versus Bautista versus.
We're getting Triple H against The Rock, dude.
Triple threat match, man.
No.
3-on-3. Oh. And then you have the Divas Revolution on the other side. This books itself, man. This books itself.
They're going to sell out half of AT&T Stadium at this point.
The Wiseman and Fritz card. It's going to really go over.
Oh, my God. They'll be like, who booked this crap? Oh, those jackasses.
Between the ropes. Between the loonies is more like it.
Yeah, between the dopes.
Between the dopes.
That's what one of my friends used to call it. Between the dopes.
Oh, Lord. It's
that's going to get trending now. But as for the Cubs, I mean, the Cubs are extremely young. I mean, they've got like five rookies in the starting lineup basically these days. And they've got two really good pitchers. They might have the best pitcher in all of baseball right now in Jake Arrieta. And then John Lester, who's been pitching a lot better in the second half. But I worry about their pitching staff beyond that. And with them being so young, right now it's kind of all loosey-goosey right now. And they don't even know, like, to put pressure on themselves. And they're going to go into the playoffs. But it's – let's see if that – if they remain that calm going into the postseason, or do they tighten up because they don't have much experience? So,
did I hear you say John Lesnar?
John Lester.
John Lesnar. He could be like the brother of Brock Lesnar, and John they could Lester. Take on the Brothers of Destruction in a Hellfire on a Pole match at WrestleMania 32. Book
Judy Bagwell on Fire on a Pole.
Oh, Lord. That's bad. That's bad.
What's the next question?
Matt Mew writes in the chat room, ask BTR. Last week's Raw had a record low ratings. However, this morning a report came out that WWE's YouTube channel was the top channel for the month of August. Actually, Matt, second top, Between the Ropes, obviously the best. In today's world, with DVR, YouTube, Netflix, social media and such, are television ratings a true barometer of success for the WWE?
They are, but what happens with the when it comes to the DVR numbers is you don't get those for another week. So what they basically do, my understanding, and I believe I'm explaining this right. So the rating that we get, we'll get the next day, we'll get the rating for what they did for people that were watching the show live. And then what will happen is WWE will get an amended number about a week to 10 days later. And that's their plus 7 rating. And basically what that is over the next 7 days, how many people watched your show. And that counts people that taped it and watched it back on their DVR or on their TiVo. So that amends their ratings. And sometimes it could be a big jump for certain TV shows. I don't know how big it's been for Raw, but there have been some other TV shows, like the last season of 24 that they did, when was that, like a year ago? Like their number was up like 30 to 40% when it came to their plus 7 number. So I mean, a lot of people weren't watching it live. But I don't see that number all the time when it comes to WWE, and I don't know how big of a jump it is. And the way that WWE pushes Raw, they push it as a live event that you want to watch live, so that way you can be involved when it comes to social media and you can engage in the conversation on Twitter and on Instagram and things like that. So I would think while it has a jump, it's probably not that big of a jump when it comes to Raw.
I would think so. That was a spot on analysis of the Nielsen there, Fritzy. 7 day plus.
That's why my middle name is Nielsen. If you didn't know it, Brian Nielsen Fritz.
Brian Nielsen Fritz. Okay. The seven day plus is an important barometer. It was more important, honestly, a few years ago than it is today, because even with streaming now, you can't gauge that kind of stuff on Netflix or on Hulu as well. And so they've kind of had to change their strategy quite a bit, which is why WWE does have that unique partnership with Hulu to show an amended version of Raw each week.
A lot of people that don't watch the show, and maybe the next day they go on YouTube and they just watch a barrage of clips.
Let me ask you a question, Brian. If I told you that instead of watching tonight's Raw, you could do one of two things. You could watch an hour and a half version of tonight's Raw on Hulu and get most of the important stuff, or pick out the clips you wanted to watch and maybe save yourself an extra hour on top of that, would you have done it?
For tonight, yeah, I would have. But you never know what shows you want to pick and choose between, like which ones you should watch live and watch the entire show and which ones are, you know, missable shows.
But I think we talk about Raw a lot, and we do this, and we're deep in the trenches with this business. And so we are going to watch it live because the smaller things are bigger to us. But to casual fans, yeah, I think they're very likely they go onto YouTube the next day and watch the clips that were important, or they watch the amended version on Hulu because that's all they need to satiate their fandom. I think to a certain extent, ratings are important right now. But I really think that's a short-term goal. I think this deal that they made last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was, with NBC Universal, I think that is a short-term goal. And I really do. I've said this since day one, since they announced the network. That is their long-term vision. And I think that as we see less emphasis being put on Nielsen ratings in the coming years, I think that you're going to see the WWE Network continue to grow, the original programming continue to grow. The WWE Network is what they've always wanted WWE to be. And that is not just a wrestling product, but a total entertainment package. Documentaries, movies, live action shows, reality shows. Wrestling is a part of that. But they want these characters to come to life in other avenues. And so, yes, ratings are still important. But I think each progressing year, they're less important. I think that YouTube indicator is a huge direction of where they're going, because fans today do watch things differently. We don't all watch SNL. We watch the clips afterwards. We don't watch MTV Movie Awards. We watch the clips the next day. So I really do. It's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, yes, they're important. But on the other hand, I think they kind of have one foot in ratings today, one foot in ratings for the future. And I think moving ahead, you're going to see so much more emphasis put on subscriber numbers, engagement on the network, things of that nature.
You might be right, but I mean, to if they, we're talking about possibly taking Raw off of network TV and trying to put it on, or off cable TV and putting it on the WWE network, trying to get to that point, that can be very dicey, because then you could be really limiting your audience. And plus the amount of money that you make on your TV deal right now, that is just, that's a huge sum to try to make up. So I don't know if they can ever get to that point. But maybe, I mean, maybe that is the end game to try to get there. But I mean, to pass up that huge money that they make per year is difficult to make that up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think there's any way that you could conceivably think the WWE Network is going to supersede that right now. But I think you and I can both agree that the future of look at HBO. They're completely, you can buy them without a network now, and they're making plenty of money to funnel all those great shows. So again, the long-term game is that I think networks like ESPN are going to start selling a la carte. I think WWE Network will be part of that. They'll be sold. You might be able to buy packages with the minute, but you're not going to buy USA Network to get WWE. You're going to buy the WWE Network to get WWE. I think that, I don't know. It's weird. We're in a weird time, but I really do think the WWE Network is the future.
Let me throw out one real quick thing too. So when the ratings come back on Tuesday for this Raw show, do you think the number will be up, or do you think it'll be the same as it was last week, or slightly different, or do you think it'll be down?
I think it will be basically on par with what it was last week. I think we've hit a low.
If it's up, that means get ready for more Kane and Big Show.
All right. That's setting up, man. WrestleMania 32, man.
People want to see Kane against Seth Rollins at that point.
Can you imagine if WrestleMania 32 had Kane versus the Big Show in a three stages of hell match? And then we got Mark Henry.
Trust me, there's more stages of hell that would be involved.
It'd
be 101,000 plus stages of hell. And that's everybody that's there in attendance going through it simultaneously.
I forgot to give my great analysis on the Cubs earlier. I'm sorry. The Cubs, they sound like a decent person. So good for them.
It's a team.
A good team too. Cubs, go right team. Here, score lots of points on your points.
You're horrible.
Yeah, go bowling or whatever they do, the Cubs. I got to give a shout out in the chat room, Dominic99. He wanted a shout out, so that's our one for the night. Dominic's
been shouted out.
We shouted you out. Jim Mills.
Jimmy.
This is not a comment, but Jim writes in a lot, so I got to give him a little shout out here. Ask BTR. I agree, drop Divas Division, bring back Women's Division with a decent belt. And then he said, where was Sasha Banks and T-Bad tonight on Raw?
They are hiding Sasha right now and keeping her off Raw so that way they could build up the match between her and Bayley at the next TakeOver show. Mm-hmm. And then after that happens, then I think we'll see Sasha more involved on Raw.
Look, he agreed with you, so you must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. All right. Bill Dixon, another longtime writer. Hey, guys, since smaller wrestling companies are only getting short-term TV deals, how long do you think it will be until some of the companies look in digital streaming? Do you think digital streaming companies like Netflix or Hulu would be interested in distributing a weekly show for them?
That is an interesting proposition, and that is something that I've talked to Jeff Jarrett on one of the podcasts before when talking about Global Force Wrestling. And he says that he's looked into that, or it's something that he's open to, because the way that people consume television these days is much different than what it was even 5 years ago. And when you talk about these properties like a Netflix and a Hulu, you know, there's a lot more people obviously that have them. There's more people that are open to watching the programming there. And, you know, if you got on a streaming service, would it be something where each show was up a week at a time? Or would you put a bunch of shows up there to where people can digest it like they can, say, a House of Cards or something like that, where people are watching the entire season at one time? So there's some questions that go into that, but it's something that I think that wrestling companies, especially, you know, with Jeff Jarrett and GFW, they're definitely interested in if they can find a partner.
Yep. You know, obviously they're interested in it because Hulu had this deal with WWE at some point to carry NXT exclusively, to carry Raw like they have been. So these companies are buying into it. There were a lot of rumors at one point that Lucha Underground was going to Netflix, which would have been interesting. So I think that it would make a lot of sense for a company like Hulu, which does a little more live TV, to pick up, you know, second runs of TNA. I think a company like Netflix would be more interested in an original property. So for them to pick up Lucha Underground, which has a little more serialized storytelling to it, or even something like Ring of Honor. I could see any of these networks that are looking to branch out a little bit more do something like that. Now, we have not seen these streaming networks do a whole lot of sports yet, outside of obviously ESPN and documentaries being the exception. So I think that's a barrier, but I think that's something that they're going to start exploring now that serialized dramas have kind of reached this apex and reached this pinnacle.
Right.
Or maybe we see somebody like ESPN or Fox Sports pick up one of these companies as extra, like watch ESPN app is the only place you can watch Lucha Underground. That would be fascinating as well.
Yeah. You know, and I do wonder, you know, when it comes to if a streaming service picked it up, would people binge watch wrestling? I'm still of the belief that it's more of a episodic television show that you don't binge watch, but the way that people digest their programming these days is so much different. I mean, who would have even thought, you know, a few years ago that I'm going to sit there and I'm going to dedicate, you know, I'm going to watch, you know, an entire season of a show over, you know, a 1 to 3 day period, like so many people do when it comes to Orange is the New Black and House of Cards or, you know, other shows that come out on Netflix or even shows that come out on Amazon now, that people do this. If all, the entire season comes out at one time, the people are just saying, I am just going to run right through this. I'm going to watch the entire season, you know, all, you know, 13 episodes or whatever. Or even there's other shows that have been on TV. Like, okay, for example, like I did not watch Parks and Recreation on NBC. I did, however, watch the first 5 seasons. I think they have 6. They like the last season isn't up yet. It's not available yet. But I watched 5 seasons of a show that's a half hour long, and each season basically had like 20 episodes. I watched that over a month period of time, which means I did some serious binge watching to catch up on that show. And I did the same thing with Veep as well. Now, mind you, each season I think was only 10 episodes, but I ran through that in like a couple weeks. But maybe that's just because it's that kind of programming. And I don't know if I would necessarily binge watch professional wrestling.
Right. And I think there's a difference there. But then again, I also think that I'll sit down on a Sunday afternoon and watch NFL all day. So that's kind of like a day of binge watching a sport.
Yeah.
If you do it right, it could be interesting. People nowadays sit down and watch 4 hours of a pay-per-view on WrestleMania or SummerSlam, watch a pre-show, post-show. So who's to say what people will or will not binge watch? But you have the option. And again, Netflix's whole thing is you have all these episodes. Watch them all if you want to or don't. It's up to you. So yeah. There's an opportunity there. We're going to get to 2 more questions.
Yep, 2 more.
So we can wrap up. TWK Reviews writes in, how would you make SmackDown a more can't-miss show?
I'd make sure that I put my bigger stars in there and put them in segments that matter to the storyline rather than just doing throwaway stuff. And I think that's what you're going to see once it moves to USA Network in February.
Reruns of Breaking Bad. That'll do it.
Hey, man, who doesn't want to see Walter?
Right. Let's just play SmackDown. Let's just call it SmackDown. It's really just Breaking Bad.
Even the slow episode of Walter versus the Fly.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Matt wrote in to ask on top of that question. In the chat room, do you think WWE will change its approach with SmackDown once it moves to USA Network?
Absolutely. I think once it's on USA, I think they're going to put a lot more importance on it, at least for the first month or two.
Right. I think I've outlined my plan. Maybe it was just to you. Maybe it was to the internets. But my plan was to use SmackDown as the next tier up. And so I'll have to dig back into my memory archives a little bit, but we say that the Raw is the A show. And it's not a total brand extension, but imagine if you turned SmackDown into more of the NXT show. So now all the top NXT talents are on SmackDown. And NXT becomes a truer, we'll say, a truer sense of developmental. So now developmental, you work your way up into SmackDown. There's still a little bit of crossover with Raw, and Raw is your main show.
Maybe it'll be something that they do. I mean, is USA Network going to be happy if they don't have WWE's top stars on it, though?
No, the USA. Well, I think if the ratings show up, they will be. I mean, you're still going to have some of the top guys. This is the bridge. I mean, I see SmackDown as the bridge show to get them onto Raw and have the Raw guys come down and support them occasionally. But really, it's the top tier NXT talent and the lower tier Raw talent covering SmackDown.
Gotcha. We'll see, you know, if they do anything different. But I mean,
like a Venn diagram. Like you got to imagine overlapping circles all over the place.
Right. Yes. But I can imagine that they've got to do something more with SmackDown once they move it. over the USA Network, at least for the first couple of months. They're going to be probably doing a big drive towards that. So on that note, we're going to wrap up.
Wait. We got one more question. I said two more. Okay. So we got one more question.
You asked two questions there.
Hold your horses. Okay. We can talk about Big Show and Undertaker after we get off the air tonight. It's okay. We'll get there. Swampa 2 writes in. This would be a simple one. How much longer do you think the title will be on Rollins?
I think that Seth Rollins is going to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion going into WrestleMania 32.
I think he'll lose it by November.
Wow. So you're saying a Kane title run is coming.
There's a guy who's called the Money in the Bank winner. He's called something. I don't know.
Sheamus?
Yeah, him.
Hmm.
I was going to say he's called the winner, but I realized he's
not
a champion.
That way we get Sheamus versus Brock Lesnar at Mania for the title?
There you go. Booked.
That will sell it.
November.
Okay. We'll see who's right then, man.
There's money out there.
We'll see who's right. So, okay. On that note, we're really going to wrap it up. but we do appreciate everybody for staying up late and joining us for the broadcast. If you want to watch any part of this back, of course, it'll be on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube. And also, please like our videos, share them with anybody and everybody, and feel free to make comments. And if you just want to listen to the audio version of this broadcast or of other podcasts that we do, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. And please like us there and rate us, review us. On both of them, especially on iTunes. That really helps us out a lot. And you can get those. You can just do a search on both of those, or you can just go to BetweenTheRopes.com, see all the different things that we have there as well. And we also have the buttons there to where you can subscribe to us on iTunes and on Stitcher. And make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. Check out our Facebook page as well. And, of course, please, if you can, support us on Patreon. That would help us out a lot. Just go to patreon.com/Between the Ropes. So thanks again for staying up late with us tonight. He's Michael Wiseman. I'm Brian Fritz. And thanks for joining us here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.